It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk.
I said we'd get the pinky. This is probably the most unique conversation or subject up on the board I've ever seen. But Pinky wants to talk about fitted hats.
I will say there's a chance I misunderstood.
What do you think he might? Okay, before we bring Pinky on.
I could have sworn it was fitted hats, but I did ask him to repeat himself a couple times because I was not sure.
So I've been leading up to this with a thought of fitted hats, but it could be anything at this point.
It could, or something that kind of sounds like fitted hats.
Okay, we'll find
out.
But
it could also just be about lids. I don't know.
Possibly. Pinky, is your subject fitted hats?
Hey, sports radio, you jive turkeys. Yes, it is about fitted hats.
Okay, what do you want to talk about?
So when are the Texans, are we waiting for the rebrand to get some fitted from the Texans? Because I need something to wear when the Astros are pissing me off. Also, what is the over and under on Amy Smart being on OnlyFans? What do you think?
This is Ryan. It's not Pinky. We don't know a Pinky. Ryan. I asked Sean if he recognized his voice.
I didn't recognize it.
He goes, I don't recognize any of the voices. They all
You asked if they sound familiar.
Did they sound familiar?
They
okay.
All sound familiar.
Okay.
They all kind of...
Because I had never met...
There's like three archetypes of callers.
It's true.
Callers.
It's true. And we had never had a Pinky call, and it's Ryan. I don't know. Once again, Ryan. You can just be Ryan. And Amy Smart, we'll get into that first.
Don't want to tackle the hat thing? Okay.
We'll talk about the hat. I'm not a fitted hat guy. I used to be, but I'm more of a snapback guy now anyway. NH, would you wear what we've seen of the new H? Are you excited about buying? You've worn hats, but you're not really a hat guy. I've seen you wear hats. Are you looking forward to, or will you buy if the hat is just like a white hat with the regular blue or maybe the H-Town blue H that they're pushing? Are you a white hat guy?
Yeah, actually? I was going to say white's a little tough. I do have a white hat, though, but white would be – I'm not sure if I'd do that. Maybe a red variant that they have. But yeah, I do like the H logo. The H logo is cool. It's a good secondary logo.
Yes, I guess we know that the old logo that we all know and maybe love or hate. Depending on – oh, okay, love.
Tradition. So sorry, some of us value tradition.
Heritage, we might call it. You value heritage.
Yeah, not the other thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about the heritage and the tradition of the Texans and their uniform.
My grandfather fought for that logo.
Your grandfather was at the unveiling of that logo. That's how you put it.
My grandfather was a grandfather at the unveiling of,
of that logo. Yes, yes.
I could have been at the unveiling of that logo.
It's true. But... We're now less than a week away now?
Yes.
Less than a week
5 days away.
Less than a week away from the unveiling of the uniforms, and as you know, the leak happened and Cal took it upon himself. And apparently now Cal is so interesting that we're having conversations about the thought process of, well, when the leak happened, how did you guys come up with a solution of dropping your own leak to counteract the old leak? So you got a great shot of your uniforms, and I guess somehow, I don't know which station when they're doing their world tour asked them about it. Cal said, and the brains behind him going on Reddit and dropping the photo of Nico and Tank in the uniforms. Well, we know Cal likes Reddit, and that's a bad photo that was out there, and We tried our best to control it, but sometimes just things get away from you. So we wanted to let people know what the uniforms actually look like and give them a good photo, well lit. And that's how Cal wound up dropping that photo on Reddit. And that's why we know what one of the uniforms looks like. And we see the whole, we see that whether you like them or not, they're not as different as I guess the next three possibly will be.
So I have a question about the uniforms and how they will be released. Because I wanted to double check, to make sure. And it is Tuesday the 23rd. There's a uniform release party, 6:30 to 9:30 p.m.
3 hours for a uniform release?
Seems aggressive.
So,
the question I have, though, is the Jets just, like, tweeted out a video about their new uniforms and correct. Maybe some pictures
yes.
were on social media.
And apparently the Lions uniforms have leaked in the last hour or so, too. At least the news came out. So.
Yeah, because there's some, like, Fanatics thing. It was, like,
oh, okay.
There's, like, an ad for them that ran. One of the banner ads just had the new Lions logo or the new Lions jerseys. Guess what? They just kind of look like
Lions
jerseys.
They pretty much look like last year's Lions jerseys.
I looked at them. I was like,
I can't tell.
Right, cool.
I guess there's a difference, but I wouldn't be able to tell.
The number font looks a little bit different. That's about it. But the are the Texans? This only matters for our job. Are the Texans going to drop a video on social media on Tuesday at 8 a.m. or are they going to actually
wait for the party?
Release it at I imagine later than 6:30 at night. Like, is it going to be at 7 o'clock at night? Because you know you got to let people trickle in. You have
sure.
to have Cal and Hannah give a speech, I'm sure,
about what went into making these uniforms possible, thanking everyone.
Maybe they show the 15-minute Twitter
again?
Trailer that they show.
They're going to put that out for everyone to watch again?
It's a three-hour release party.
There'll be food and drinks. I think there'll be a fashion show.
You got to wait for people to get food and drinks in
them. Maybe they wait at
Cal's on the grill, I'm sure.
I don't know if he's going to be grilling
burgers. Oh, I thought he was hosting it.
I don't know if he's going to be, hey, Hannah, can you give me another drink while he's grilling? I don't know if that's going to happen. I think there'll be a fashion show. The stars of the Texans will be out there wearing them in different variations. And then there'll probably will be an official release video on social media. And then there'll be images of the players wearing them. It'll be a whole thing.
So really the question is, are we going to get to talk about it on our Tuesday show or our Wednesday show, do you think? Probably Wednesday, right?
Wednesday. They come out on Tuesday. Oh, you think, will they drop a release at like 9:30 or something?
Yeah, where they just
I don't think so. I think they'll wait for, I think a video will come at the time that the release thing is. Will they live stream? Are they going to live stream their party?
I don't know.
I'm not watching
it. Depending on how rowdy the party is, that could get some people in trouble. I'm imagining this as like an actual party. It's not a party.
Not a uniform release party. It's a sport.
We're all going to Cal's house.
It's like one of those. It's like it'll be like a sports map party. It's not a party. It'll be people, standing around drinking and eating finger foods and having conversations.
Yeah, but they're wearing polo shirts.
Yeah,
and suits.
And in this case, it'll be a fan event. I'm sure fans will be littered throughout, and it'll be fine. But I don't think we're going to see, unless there's a leak, I don't think we're going to see a uniform video before the release. Because why have the party if it's a uniform thing?
To celebrate the new uniforms?
Yeah,
you don't have to announce them. You just can celebrate them then.
No.
Okay.
Wait for the fashion show on Tuesday night, Sean. That's when you'll get the full release.
I just wanted, again, just trying to plan out what we're going to talk about next week if the Astros keep losing.
We're scavenging right now.
Yeah, we could have used that topic on Tuesday. That's all I'm saying.
True, but the playoffs will have begun. There'll be playoff games to discuss.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely not watching. If there's a live stream, I'm definitely not watching a live stream of the uniform release over like Timberwolves Suns.
An actual meaningful NBA game.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you.
I'm also probably not going to watch like the 3-minute produced . Where they have Bun B standing on an oil rig, being like,
"Are we allowed? Are we allowed to do that?
I don't know.
Using oil rigs? Yeah, the fake yell that they get every guy to do the thing that they do. I don't want to see that. I don't care about that.
Also, because the videos make it hard to actually see the uniforms.
True, it's so stylized. You never see the guys just standing there wearing the uniform.
Give me the photos that they sent out with the leak, not the first one, the one with the actual NFL players.
Look, I think the Texans are going to have us covered. I don't think there will be
going to pimp it out.
One part of the uniform that will be unseen. I think we're going to see all of it. They're going to talk about it all. It's been one of the big things for them. Just think, if they were a terrible football team, how much they would have put into it. Now they've got other things to talk about. They can actually talk about how good they are, and then the uniforms are just the icing on top. So that'll come next week, the uniform news, and all stem from a conversation about about fitted hats, which I don't wear.
Oh, yeah, we never got to
the Amy Smart thing. We'll hear from Joe Espada when we come back. And then we might talk about whether Amy Smart will ever join OnlyFans. I'm going to put that as a low probability once again. Ryan, the blondes and the successful actresses, that combination for you, I get. I get why you like it. But I would say try to find them. Try to find celebrity leaks or something. I don't know. If you're that desperate for nudes, it's probably not going to be through an official OnlyFans account. Sorry. You're picking the wrong actresses. You're picking former, like, B and A-list actresses. Those women generally don't make that move. They've made too much money.
I don't know. The first one that when I Googled her name, the first movie that comes up is Crank.
And then have Crank, you seen that movie?
High Voltage.
Jason Statham has to keep his heart at a certain beats per minute or he'll die?
Yes. On the poster for Crank High Voltage, he literally has jumper cables in his mouth.
That back when posters were posters.
Yeah. I don't know what that means, but yeah.
Hey, movie posters have taken a drastic turn. Yeah. Back in the 90s and the early 2000s and throughout that decade, they got with it when it came to posters. Not so much now. Amy Smart, still a working actress. Ryan, I'm not even going to wait to the next segment. I'm putting that at 4%. And really trending towards 1%. Good luck, man. She's too active. It hurts your cause. The cause of seeing a 40-something-year-old woman join OnlyFans. By the way, Amy Smart's 48 years old. I don't know how old Ryan is. He sounds younger than that. Maybe she was one of your crushes when you were young. You might want to update, buddy. There are a lot of beautiful women at different ages, but I don't know if lusting after the 48-year-old actress to join OnlyFans, it should be your thing, particularly when it sounds like you might be in your 30s. But hey, a crush is a crush, I guess. They never go away. We'll get to Joe Espada and what he said about his confidence and why it exists for Jose Abreu. That dreaded phrase that we're going to have to do an investigation about where it came from and when it'll end. We'll be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Welcome back to the show. We'll get to some of the NBA stuff that happened yesterday. And apparently the French Federation isn't thrilled with Joel Embiid's pledge to the Americans. Because they leaked a letter about him wanting to play for France and wanting to play in the 2024 Olympics, which are in Paris. And now the receipts are out. And it's really just Joel Embiid saying, my goal is to play for you guys. And this letter's from like 2021. And now that he's playing for America, the French aren't thrilled. So be it. We don't actually care. But they put that out there. Yesterday, the Astros go down. They lose a late game. They're now 0-5 in one-run games. They've been swept three times. Twice at home. And the phrase that is driving people nuts, at least if you're on the hellscape that is Twitter or X, is what we're going to play from Joe Espada when we come back. When I throw it to it here. I don't know where it came from. Sean said he heard Bagwell say it like last year. You said last year you heard him say it. So maybe it's a Bagwell joint, and now that he's a bigger voice when it comes to the decision making of the franchise, his terminology is being something that's being spread, and now people who do interviews and post-game stuff are saying it. Dana Brown said it in his interviews yesterday, or his interview yesterday. Espada has said it a couple times, and he said it here after the game against the Braves, and in really in a defense of Jose Abreu.
History, you know, the back of his baseball card. You know, he can do it.
That was in response to a question about why are you confident, or where does your confidence come from regarding Jose Abreu turning it around. The back of his baseball card. Leaning on the past to predict future results is cool when the guy's like 25, 26. But when he is at the back end of his career, suggesting that what he did 4 years ago is going to lead to, or is why you believe things are going to turn around, is bad process. I don't even know if you want to call it process. It's bad. It's just nonsense, honestly.
Bad.
It's just bad and it's nonsense. Yeah, what he did 3 years ago. He's old. You know you fall, well, in baseball terms, you fall off the cliff and it's over. Why are we talking about things that he used to do at his age? I don't know where that came from. I don't want to blame Espada because he's the front-facing guy with the organization now. When it comes to blame, we can blame the players for their issues, but the non-player realm, the fellowship of mid, he would be the guy we go to first for blame. I don't even know how many people think Dana Brown is really in charge of decision-making, which is not a great position for Dana Brown to be in, if he actually is. But what? The back of his base? We got to come up with a different phrase, or at least cut this one out. We're done with this.
Yeah, if they all had the same, like, sentiment, just didn't literally say the same phrase, I feel like people would be less mad. They're like, hey, we're standing by Jose Abreu.
His history of success,
yeah,
of hitting.
He's been a great player in this league for a long time. I'm sure he'll bounce back. And just like, just different versions of that. Just different versions of like, you know, we're going to keep running him out there because we know sooner or later, you know, he has a history of success in this league. He's gonna find something that works for him. Like just say the same thing, just differently. Don't throw this phrase.
Yeah, particularly when a couple guys are saying it. If it's one guy's turn of phrase, okay, we think it's dumb, but at least it's just the one guy saying
it.
That's his thing.
Yeah.
It is multiple guys. It's the guys who do all the talking right now.
Which kinda leads me to think that I know, it might be Bagwell because he has a history. Saying he's a habitual back of the baseball card checker,
and it feels like old school baseball guy thing to say.
It's such an old school baseball guy thing to say, but I think because so many different people use it, and like you said, there's this fellowship of mid that's deciding all the things. But who, when they go in their smoke covered room and they go to make these decisions of how much money to give Rafael Montero and Jose Abreu, who do you think sits at the head of the table?
Well, Crane sits at the head of the table.
That's why I think it might be a Crane thing.
So you think...
And then all of his little minions, like...
are adopting the phrase because like, the big man in charge said it. I could see it. I could see that.
It's a phrase that... Or it's a phrase that, like, we use to justify why we should not just be immediately fired to Jim Crane. And it's just like, this is the phrase that we're using to save our job.
It filters down from the big man. It becomes part of the corporate culture. And now everyone is saying it. Like, we've been in meetings where, for whatever reason, some person in charge has latched on to something, and now they say it all the time. It's the radio stuff is very, very annoying. And sometimes, at one point, just tune it out. Okay, I've heard this all before. Shout out to ex-bosses, I guess. But
or no shout out.
Well, however you want to put that. But there are certain terms that come up that are said over and over again that no normal human would say. But because it's in a meeting and this is something you want to push, you start to say it, and you hope your underlings say it too. I was speculating it might have come from Bagwell or Biggio, but the thought that it's a Jim Crane thing makes more sense.
It's because now because before it was just Dana Brown saying it, mostly because Dana Brown was just he's always in front of a microphone. I actually don't really understand
why he's talking so much.
Yeah,
I guess he has a weekly thing on 790, right? That's where most of this is coming from.
You can cancel that, buddy. Well, like, no one's forcing you to do
that. Yeah, but they're the station for the team, so I guess they have to have some type of relationship.
I guess, but that's the thing with when we heard from Ime Udoka and Rafael Stone earlier this week, I had a moment of like, when's the last time I heard Rafael Stone in front of a microphone talking about things?
he
does it like three times a year.
Yeah, he's a lot of NBA GMs are like that, unless your name is Daryl Morey. A lot of those guys decide that, hey, I'll make my appearances
when I have to,
but I'm not going to be out in front of things.
I'm not going to have a weekly hit on the flagship
and seeking out attention, because I don't want to do that. I want people to believe all I do is care about, all I care about is basketball. But
and imagine the phrases he would have had to use for Jalen Green this year. Hey, check the back of
his G League.
Check his 247 rating.
Yeah, if he had gone to college, just guess where he would have gone. Look, he could have gone anywhere in the country.
Look, he had offers from Kentucky and Arizona. He's got to be good.
Yeah.
I don't know if he had offers from them.
Yeah, I don't know how quickly everyone knew he wasn't going to go to college. But yeah, it's a unique thing. It's not unique for GMs to make appearances that often, but in this city, Nick Caserio does it too for the Texans. It just so happens that he never says anything worth a thing, because he loves to do that. He direct answer to a question, nah, not me. And that's part of the Patriot way. He certainly does. I don't know if he has a catchphrase like the Astros do now. He could get away with it because his team is winning. It would feel a lot better if we're talking about one guy who you trust because of the back of a baseball card if the team was 14-6.
Oh, wow. I'm looking at Jalen Green's offers. He did, yeah, I nailed it. Kentucky, Arizona,
yeah,
Kansas.
He was a top three prospect.
But that's really like the only good schools that offer. USC, Alabama.
Well, Alabama's
Oregon.
Nate Oates and Alabama are a good school. They're not a blue blood, but they're a good school. They're in the Final Four.
But in like 2020, were they?
I don't remember where. I don't know if Nate Oates was there. I don't think he was. But he got offered, and like I said, a lot of that might have been, hey, you're not going to go to college. Why are we putting in any time and energy for this? Well, I'm sure a lot of those schools threw off the token offer early and realized very quickly he was never going to go there.
Hey, we trust Amin Thompson's shooting will bounce. Just bounce. Not back. Just bounce. Forward.
Well, it will hit the rim. And it'll hit the rim, and that generally causes the bounce. Amin Thompson, who
also
might
bounces on the floor sometimes.
When he misses the rim completely? A lot of slander for a guy who
19% from three.
I was going to try to dance around that and say a lot of slander for a guy who a lot of people think should be on the first team all rookie team.
He should be, but
that doesn't mean he can shoot, right?
Exactly.
You can be a great defender and distributor and athletic and not be able to shoot.
Fools up.
Yeah,
and he made every defender who guarded him also look like Amin Thompson on defense.
The only problem is he was being guarded by Tyler Hero on a case. Actually, he didn't play in that game, but the point remains, being guarded by not great defenders, and the jump shot wasn't there. But maybe it'll come. He certainly had other aspects of his game that were really, really, really good for the Rockets, and you just hope the shooting picks up and matches what he brings on in other aspects of the game. Sometimes the shooting never gets there, and hopefully that's not the case. But he owned that dunker spot. He
held it down. He held it down.
Around the rim, he was a force.
If only Jose Abreu could find his fit on the Astros.
I just need him to take the ball square in the chest. Just take the ball, keep the ball in the infield. That's all I'm looking for. A big play yesterday that led to an Astros loss. Of course, there are other people to blame for it. But when you're hitting like he's hitting, and he's getting paid like he's getting paid, and the back of the baseball card is the only defense he has, he's going to catch it. The Astros aren't doing him any favors with that stupid phrase over and over again. Say something else. We got a couple more segments to go. I'll defend the rest of the show with, I've seen Sean's back of the baseball card. He's good. He's good.
That means people are questioning me.
The streets are saying.
No. Oh.
The streets are saying.
Oh. Are reporters in the city asking if we're going to have a show only meeting?
Trust me, that's never happening. I'm never going to pull you aside. Hey, I'm going to hang around till after three so we can talk about some stuff. Never happening. You don't have to worry about that. Trust me, as a producer, it's the worst thing to do to someone. But what we will come back and play is Greg Doyle and what he said to Caitlin Clark. Oof, talk about awkward. Caitlin Clark doing the rounds, doing her first availability after being an Indiana Fever in Indianapolis, enjoying the sights. I'm sure a lot of great questions, and then Greg Doyle popped up. We'll play that when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are.
No, not really. Okay.
We'll get to the Greg Doyle thing here shortly because it'll just continue this new world where we're in, where guys are lusting over female basketball players. Haley Van Lith, the foil for Caitlin Clark in the regional final where Iowa beat LSU, she is transferring to LSU. Excuse me, TCU. She's transferring from LSU to TCU, and her teammate will be one of the Cavender sisters. So, of course, all the weird bros in their 30s are lusting or thinking about the fact that, hey, two attractive women who play sports are on the same team. Congratulations, I guess, to you guys. But Haley Cavender and Haley Van Lith, two Haleys, are going to play for the Horned Frogs. TCU with that NIL money coming through. To get those two as your starting backcourt.
Man, now I'm upset Texas is leaving the Big 12.
Sean's going to be one of those guys.
I mean, the joke was right there.
Yeah, I mean, of course, because women's basketball is more prominent. I don't know if those games will all be readily accessible. The
probably
TCU
ESPN
games.
Plus,
yeah,
I imagine.
On ESPN, but ESPN Plus will have them. You'll be able to watch if you so choose. So if you are looking, if you like blonde women who play basketball.
Ryan.
You can watch the TCU backcourt with Haley Van Lith and Haley Cavender. Her sister, who said she didn't want to play basketball anymore, is back too. So the Cavender sisters, for the first time in forever, I guess. Isn't that a Disney song that I just quoted, unfortunately? Those two aren't going to play on the same team. They're going to play basketball, but not on the same team. Hannah, I think is her first name, is going to play at the University of Miami, where she was before she decided basketball wasn't for her anymore. But some people think, hey, Hannah was like, the explosion for money for women's basketball players in college means I should come back. I already was pretty famous, coupled with my sister. Now, Caitlin Clark has made it far more profitable to be a women's basketball player, even on the college level. Let me go get that bag.
Do you think that the Cavenders make more money separate?
That can't be possible, right? That was a twin thing. Speaking of creepy guys in their 30s, that was a twin thing, right? It had to be, right?
I guess. Yeah, I think so.
Splitting up that bag in between them, I think, makes them more than it being a separate thing. And I'm sure they'll have their own brand deals where individually, but they'll also continue to have the brand deals together.
It helps that they're in two different parts of the country, too, I imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, so
especially being in South Florida.
Yeah, that's why.
Talk about the creeps.
It's one of the reasons they went down there, not for the creeps, but for the brand deals.
To exploit the creeps.
Yeah, hey guys, hey look, we're attractive. Give us money. And the guy's like, sure.
John Ruiz is like, yeah, sure.
We'll do. Oh, yeah, he was the name. He was the big name at the time, not so much anymore. I mentioned the Greg Doyle interaction with Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark in Indiana celebrating her recent draft. Oh, by the Fever, number one overall pick. So she's talking to all the reporters, and Greg Doyle gets this question. If you don't know who Greg Doyle is, he writes for the Indy Star, I believe. He's been an Indianapolis writer for a long time, covering all the sports, and he had to interject himself in the story. If you go to his Twitter account, there's a lot of tweets about his time setting up for this particular press conference, his spot where he was going to see the press conference from. So many tweets about it, pictures as well. Well, he gets his chance to ask Caitlin Clark a question, and this is how it goes.
Hi, Caitlin. Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me, and we'll be able to get along just fine. So, question is.
You're not boy, Greg. He's already apologized for it. He called himself an oaf. It's oafish. It's weird. He made the symbol to her, and she responded with, well, I actually just do that to my family. I mean, this is for my dad and my mom. It's just to show that I love them. And he goes, well, you guys heard it. Do you think Greg Doyle has an issue talking to women, or is it women athletes? What do you think that was? Or is he just awkward all the time?
Listen. Greg Doyle's had a long, illustrious career at the Indianapolis Star. You check the back of his baseball card. This is just a bad moment.
You ask the editor, why do you think Greg won't do this again? He just check the back of his byline.
He covered Reggie Miller. He never asked anything weird to Reggie Miller.
Just check his byline. Greg will be fine. Yeah, I don't know, man.
I also have him at like 60 years old.
I don't know if he's that old. He might be close, maybe in his early 50s or so. It's just weird. Just ask a question. Don't do the hard thing.
How excited are you to be in Indianapolis?
Yeah, I'm sure she's heard it 40 times, but you know what doesn't happen? You don't have to go apologize if you do ask that question. What are you doing?
Also, like, what was the question?
I don't think he did ask. She looked at him, and then he did the hard thing.
But, like,
because he wanted
that's
to.
That's not how press conferences work.
No, you don't make hand signals to people. You don't just throw, like, when Cal is announcing the uniforms, no one's going to be like throwing up the H. No one's going to do that.
Well, I would have, but you know,
because you and Cal are boys. I understand, but a reporter who needs a question for his article, or just a reporter who's there for sound for a media outlet, it's not going to just throw up the H to Cal.
Brian McTaggart during the 2022 World Series.
Pena.
Doing the heart.
He's Pena. Not doing that. What is doing? Why does he? We know why.
Hey, Jeremy. You know, whatever. Sean Mapes in ESPN 97.5.
Yeah.
Hard hand?
I just do that to my family and
you do it to the dugout.
And the dugout. Which you are neither. You're not in the dugout or my family, so why are you doing that to me?
Well, you know, keep doing it to me. It'll be,
yeah, if you keep doing it to me, then I'll like it.
Well,
the follow-up is the worst part.
Yeah.
Doing the hand thing is weird.
If you're just like, oh, cool. Didn't know that.
If he pretended to be unaware and go, oh, that's what that's for. I thought that's just how you talk to everyone, because of course you would do that. Do the heart hands to everyone.
Do you think Jeremy Pena looks around and is like, really? Everyone's doing the heart hand now?
Not everyone. Greg Doyle's doing the heart hands.
And Caitlin Clark.
Well,
and Taylor Swift.
Well, the point is everyone does it. It's not a unique to Jeremy Pena thing.
Pena was the one.
That's right. It didn't begin.
They're all riding the wave.
It didn't begin.
Taylor Swift and Caitlin Clark are riding the Pena wave.
Yeah, Taylor Swift, the famous pop star, had never done the heart hands until she saw Jeremy Pena do it.
She went on tour in 2023.
She went on tour in
Last time I checked, that was after 2022.
Are we suggesting she didn't go on tour before?
Did she do the heart hands on tour before?
You're being Granato, by the way. You don't know. You don't know. You know.
No one knows.
You know what? I'm not going to do Google Taylor Swift heart hands 2021.
It's impossible to know.
It's impossible. I could find out, but I'm not going to. I refuse to be pulled in by the. To
I don't
this,
know why.
Like
turned
Greg,
into
by Greg Doyle. I know. You don't know. Can you prove it? Huh?
I don't know why I did that.
It's because it's fun to do.
I mean, it is.
It's a way to win an argument without actually thinking at all.
Yeah.
You just say that stupid thing, and there's no way really anyone can combat you.
Really, it's hard to get backed into a corner when you can just
when
go
you can
look
just
it
say,
up.
Or you can say, you don't know. Sometimes there's actually evidence where I can look it up. Oh, you don't know? No one knows. Nah, I do know. But Greg Doyle, weird, has already apologized for being an oaf, and I guess this is what we're going to have to deal with. The weirdos who can't imagine women being attractive and playing sports and have to comment on it all the time. And then Greg Doyle trying to be her Brian Windhorse. I think he thought that was the path. If I give her the hard hands, maybe I get to be her Brian Windhorse and document her and start a new path in my career. Didn't work out for him.
I cannot get over it. He didn't have a question.
No.
He just did the hard hand. That's not a question. What if she just did it back? Then what? Does he just hand over the microphone? Like,
know, because of where he works and how long he's done it, they would love for Greg Doyle to write something great about Caitlin Clark. the Indiana Fever would love it. I don't know how much time he spent covering that particular team, but now I guess he deems she is a reason to do it. They would love for him to ask a couple of insightful questions. She gives a couple great responses. They start a rapport. And then it's in the paper. Instead, he goes heart, hands, and the Indy Star's like, oh my gosh, what are we doing? The Indiana Fever is like, can we take his credential away? All of it becomes terrible because he's being weird.
That's the best part, is that this isn't like some sort of like how at Super Bowl Media Day.
It's a random.
Yeah, where it's like, man, we're giving credentials to these jokers. It's like, he's just like a newspaper
writer.
He's
a staple in that city.
If anyone gets a credential, basically no questions asked, it's, yeah, the longtime writer for the newspaper. Just like, yeah, whatever event, like you said, I don't know if he ever covered the Fever before, but I'm sure he had no issues getting credentialed to go to that, even if he only covered the Pacers and Colts. Like, yeah. I'm sure he could get a credential to that.
They were
and he uses it to do the most clown behavior.
And it's different now. They're getting a lot of requests, but I'm sure willing to give.
I'm sure he was on the, like, he...
He was at the top of the list, yeah. And they were certainly willing to give him one because of his stature there, and then he decided to be the weirdest person he could possibly be.
Did you do that to Tamika Catchings when she played for the Indiana Fever?
Feels unlikely. I don't know if she had a thing she did to celebrate with her family, but it feels unlikely. A nice pull, by the way, Tamika Catchings.
You know, some people are just new to the WNBA.
So. Unlike yourself. Been covering it for years.
Well, since, like, the 2000s, that's really.
Well,
and then the comments were taken away from us.
And crushed your spirit.
Then I'm out.
Hey, they take away your team. They crush your spirit.
Yeah.
Understood. Now we're forced to care about the Astros and how terrible that's been over the last decade. Been pretty great until the last, until last month.
The 6 weeks of the season.
Yeah, this last 6 weeks, they've ruined it for us. Hey, get better, guys. Stop sucking. We'd appreciate it. One more segment to go here. If you want to call in 713-780-3776, if you are weird around women's athletes, stop doing that. It's okay. Just watch the sports. That's all. You don't have to be odd like Greg Doyle or a lot of other guys on Twitter. But one more segment to go. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
We've talked a lot about the Texans uniforms. The Texans uniforms. We talked a lot about them. And we've got another leak. I expect Cal to respond in hours. Get on Reddit and give us a stylized picture, but what appears to be a Texans alternate helmet is out, thanks to, at least the original video comes from @FredoRDZ. Some Texans accounts are picking it up. But if I look at it, it's a dark blue helmet with the stylized H, the H-Town H on it, and then in the H-Town blue colors, and then a red star, like where the two vertical lines on the H would connect by the horizontal bar, the star is there. So these appear to be real. They look as real as you might think they could be, considering it's from a random warehouse.
There's Riddell boxes behind them.
Yeah, as
helmet maker.
So, looks like we've got a leak of the helmet, and it's dark. The base color is dark blue. Something you would be familiar with, but the big thing is the H-Town H and it being in an H-Town blue color. So if that uniform is to be, or at least that helmet is to be believed, you would imagine, I'm sure they'll be kind of interchangeable, but we imagine it'll be part of the H-Town blue uniform, whatever that might look like. If it's a all or mostly a dominant H-Town blue or in accents, whatever that might be, it looks like the helmet to be paired with it. Will be that one. But because of the dominant dark blue color, I'm sure it can go with other stuff too.
Yeah. My first reaction is that it looks a lot like a third helmet.
It does look like something they'll break out on
it looks
special
like a
occasions.
Once a year, kind of.
Yeah. And maybe that uniform will be the case, too, where it's so, I guess, quote unquote, modern. It'll be so modern that they only do it once a year. It won't be something they would consider over and over again. They'd break it out for
a night game
or something. I don't know.
They have traditions to uphold.
Yes, clearly the Texans. So much tradition to uphold.
Rich history. This definitely, I mean, watching a lot of college football, it's like this feels like a ACC team wears like on a Thursday night.
Hey, watch it.
No, I'm saying Louisville has had a lot of.
It's true.
It seems very Louisville, like when they're just, you know, they're it's a out of the box look for the Texans. It's a very out of the box look for the Texans. It's not something that you associate with, like we said with the first leak, that looked very. Like, that was not outside the box for the Texans whatsoever.
No, it
was just kind of the uniform they already wore.
Yeah, it was an updated version of...
This is completely different.
Yes. It is something we wouldn't expect from them, but we were told that things would be different. And our own Jeremy Branham has already graded the helmet at 2.3. I don't know if that's out of 5, I guess.
Yeah, I was going to ask. 10?
Yeah, that's a really low grade. But even if it's out of 5, he's got it below average. So... It's out there. You want to go check it out. Like I said, at Fredo RDZ _. That's where you can find the helmet originally. Like I said, other Texans accounts are picking it up, but that's the original. I like to give credit to the person who put it out there first. So that's out there if you want to see it. The NBA playoffs were last night. At least the play-in was last night. I wouldn't say either one were good games. The first game was compelling. The Sixers hang on. After the Heat jumped out to a big lead in the first half, the Sixers kind of clawed their way back and eventually took a lead late in the fourth quarter and held the Heat at bay. Joel Embiid looked labored throughout, made a big three to give the Sixers a lead. And the big news is that Jimmy Butler was injured early in the game, played through it to the best of his ability, was not great overall. He even admitted that he probably hurt his team more than he helped them throughout. He played nearly 40 minutes, if not more. And that injury where Kelly Oubre fell on him after a pump fake was at the end of the first quarter. So he played the rest of the game, didn't play great, and the Heat lose. So they host the Bulls, who are dealing with an injury concern themselves, where Alex Caruso was stepped on by his own player on an already tender ankle. So there's thoughts that he will miss that game as well. And I say as well because the reports are out that Jimmy Butler will miss several weeks. Now, in this new age where you can always immediately respond, his agent, Bernie Lee, went on Sirius XM NBA to push back on the thoughts that Jimmy has already been diagnosed and will be out several weeks.
The game ended last night at, about 10 p.m.? So from 10 p.m. to now, it's 9:37 a.m. I saw Jimmy last at the arena. We all had a conversation. Probably like around 11:30. They leave from the arena at 11:30. They go to the airport. They fly home. They got home around 3:30. It's now 9:30. We don't see the doctor till later this afternoon, right? And as you guys know, everybody, the locker rooms are a busy place. People can, think about something or speculate something, but nobody really knows. Like, we're going to see the doctor later today. And it blows my mind that somebody that wasn't in the arena is somehow has come up with a medical timeline of something that literally four of us, one is the person that got hurt and me, the person that has conversations with everything, that everything gets filtered through. We don't even know. And now we're having to live in somebody else's created reality of, something that I didn't know. Like, I was in Philadelphia last night. I literally just landed in Miami. Like, what do you know that I don't know? Like, I'm amazed at it, to be totally honest with you.
We can get into the culture of news breaking and who they answer to and why some reports come out. But what was your Shams and Woj don't have to be in the arena. All it takes is a call with maybe they have an in on the Heat staff. Maybe a confidant of Jimmy opened his mouth and said something. I don't know. But that's Bernie Lee, the agent, pushing back on the report. Whether it be several weeks but most importantly, he's probably going to miss the game on Friday, which is most important as far as are the Heat going to be in the playoffs or not. So Bernie Lee, his agent, his job is to push back on things. And the report isn't such that, oh, Jimmy Butler's going to be out for the rest of the year. Now, the rest of the year could be Friday, but the report is 2 weeks or several weeks. And if it is an MCL injury, that's probably the case. But fine, we're doing the semantics thing, and you don't know, and how could he know? But the follow-up question is, do you think he's playing on Friday?
Because that's ultimately what's most important.
Yes. I don't know if that was asked. The whole interview is up. You guys can find it. I didn't have the time to get to it. But the most important thing is, hey, Bernie, appreciate it. But is he going to play on Friday? Because if he's not, that's really all that matters at this point. Because let's be honest, no one really cares about Jimmy Butler's MCL outside of Bernie and the people in Jimmy's circle. I'm sure that he – but as far as the general audience – The real concern, if there is one, is the guy available for Friday, because that's the nature of sports. Your rehab, we don't care about. The pain you had to deal with, we don't care about. Are we going to watch you play? Are you going to be able to play for our amusement on Friday? If not, we don't want to hear about it.
Or on Sunday.
Yeah.
Even because you can even do the, well, they should be able to
beat
get past
the Bulls without him, yeah.
Yeah, and then because they have a lot of experience playing without him from the regular season.
Quite a bit.
And then the question, well, then, you know, you get a rematch of last year's Eastern Conference Finals against the Celtics. That's one that they'll need, if they have any chance, they'll need Jimmy Butler. And that game one, again, tips off Sunday.
And not the Jimmy Butler you saw throughout the regular season, or even the one you saw before he got hurt. They're going to need, you know, the whole playoff Jimmy thing. So that would have been the question. Hey, appreciate it, Bernie. Is he going to play Friday or Sunday? If not, who cares? Yes, push back. You have the form. They allowed you to do it, and we don't know. And, of course, it'll come out after an MRI, confirm that Jimmy Butler will miss several weeks, because that's generally how it goes. Well, those guys, Shams and Woj, are wrong sometimes, but when they come out with a report that suggests that a player is going to be missing several weeks, they're generally right.
I feel like the report that we get is like, could maybe come back if the series goes seven, or like could return in the second round. Like, yes. Then no one goes like weeks. It's going to be weeks. It's like, well, they dangle it out there, even though, you know, at the second round starts in 2 weeks. So that is weeks away.
Yeah. I don't know if you want to call it outrage or he was incredulous about the report, but trust. A couple hours from now, all those words are going to be wasted, because we're not going to hear, oh, Jimmy Butler will return on Sunday if the Heat make it. That's not going to happen.
Actually, his MCL's never been stronger.
Actually, in fact, Kelly Oubre falling on him was like Tommy John surgery. It made his knee stronger, and he's coming back on Friday night. Unlikely. We're done for the day. I'm sure Gallant and George will talk about the Texans league. They'll talk about the Astros, which isn't great. At least the Texans stuff is fun, and the Killer Bees will follow them. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.